Okay. See, alright, so now let's move ahead. Now let me give you some definitions and then we'll see how we're going to work. Fine. So what is family strategy? Family strategy has a long and short definition. It is the competence to go through life of chaos in an organized and calculated and balanced way. In other words, the children will hit you, boof. The retirement will hit you, boof. The movement of house will hit you, boof. And you'll be wondering, God, I'm not ready. Then your husband moves to a new town, paf, and you're wondering, oh, how do I deal with this? Then I don't know what happens. Then your mother-in-law comes to live with you. Why, yeah, 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 yeah. Then I don't know what happens. So you're always in this sort of chaos of, and then somebody gets sick, and then they're in hospital. You know what I mean? But your time on earth is limited. The reason why you don't want to look at that timeline properly is that you can actually tell when you're going to die. It's true. Bible has said 70 to 80 years. So if you hit 80, what do you think? What's special about you? All right? So why not serve God now before you lose that strength? You see, this is why salvation is so beautiful. I know I'm here for a period and then I'm going where? To heaven. But it will be so embarrassing for me to reach heaven without finishing the work. Then you arrive in heaven, God asks you, umekuja? Then you say, eh, sasa, umekuja nini? Na hiyo kazi is not yet done. You know, some people are sent back. You go back. Kwenda. Go and finish. Okay? So, if you don't plan for it, if you don't look at the realities, it will hit you like crisis upon crisis. Suddenly, junior will be, he's going to primary, finished secondary. He's finished. He's actually finished. What do you mean? You didn't know he was going to finish? Now Moses is going to college. He's in college. Just the other day, Olikwa na chesa Sunday school. And he used to sing Jesus Loves Me. These days, he doesn't even sing Jesus Loves Me. Okay? Right. It is the approach a family takes to explore. This is the one I like. I don't know if it's on your notes, but if you don't have it, write this one down. The approach a family takes to explore and exploit. Oh, yes, I think it's in that small flyer of yours there. It's explore and exploit its gifting. Create wealth, influence society, and transform your world and leave a legacy. The institution of marriage and family. You're bringing up children who are going to change the world. And you are changing the world. My grandfather was one of the first people in the area to become a Christian. And he became a church elder. The legacy I have today is because he stood out in his generation and said, these fellows will go to church. My father will go to church. You know where my father went? Makerere University, Hapa. I went there the other day. 60 years after he was there. And I realized that that man of vision sent his son to school so that we could be saved from those village, I'm not saying village practices are bad, but they were inhibiting. Look at me, I am now an international consultant. I would not have been if that guy hadn't gone to church. Now the times of things you're doing in your family today will influence generations. You will join the lineage of Christ. Amen. You know, those things, don't look at yourself at me, I'm struggling. No. Struggle to put your family on course to heaven. It is your duty. You will be the weak link in the chain. Because you didn't pay attention to going to church. And so the values in our family now, I can actually walk up to my brother and ask him, did you go to church? Not because I don't like him or he like, said, we always go to church. All of us were brought up that way. Isn't that what you do to your brothers or your sisters? How are we brought up? So I can actually ask you straight up, did you go to church? Have you gone to school? Our father brought us up to go to school. How do you think the Asians succeed in business? They were brought up in the business. And so they run the business for generations upon generations. Now, do you know, It is you to choose which direction you're going to go. The Bible says, train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. What do you think I'm talking about? I'm talking about families. I'm talking about individual Sunday school. Sunday school is just one aspect. I'm talking about you as mom and dad, creating a future generation. Violet runs a school. It's called the Leadership Academy. We only have 4 children. Why are we running the Leadership Academy? We have 50. We are creating a new generation. Our family business is supposed to influence generations. There are people who will leave that school and they will go with the testimony that I went to the Leadership Academy. And somebody will ask, this Leadership Academy, where is it? We have never heard of it. Oh, it was set up by Violet Bukuzi. Whoa! Hey, that's my inheritance, Bwana. Hey, wacheni. You guys don't have set up a school, or you can't marry Violet. She's my wife now, so... Plan with your family how many generations you're going to influence. You've heard of the Awaris. One of them was vice president, I think. The Awaris, Canon Awori was just from Busia along there, Funyula there, that area. Huh? You don't know him, but he's influencing your generation. Your country, the direction of your country here. And all his children are rich businessmen, they are professors, they are all sorts of things. Simply because he stood in his generation and created a turnaround. And said, from now on, we go this way. Do you know you have that power? You have it in the family. God listens to it. And he says, you have said, I have stood for this. Enough is enough. We shall be godly people. It will be. Studies have been done over and over again. Even in Kiswahili, I don't know if they did their studies, lakini mtoto wa mwizi ni. Those guys who do studies in America, the thieves beget thieves. Vice presidents beget vice presidents. Beget presidents, beget senators. Beget. Yeah? So why don't you stand up in your generation and say, from now on, I am determining where this lineage is going. Okay, so let's look at the principles. Now I've sort of covered the theoretical framework, and now I'm going into saying, so what do I do? The question I was asking you, what is godly, God's purpose? Look at the needs in your environment here. On a macro scale, those are God's needs. How do you get into that? Okay, now a little later we'll get into a Q&A session with Violet, and we'll discuss some of these things. But for now, let me walk through this and we see what those principles are. Now, the principles are in this book, and we don't have time to go to all of them, but we will point out the key things that you're going to have to be aware of when you're planning your marriage, not your wedding. Number one, define your family. Now, that looks very obvious. But as I was telling you, some people decide that my family is me, my wife, my children, my brother's children, and my relatives, my mother-in-law, and my brother-in-law, and the whole village is my family. Now, I'm not against extended family. But if you want to go that route, you better have the finances to finance it. The whole village, isn't it? Yeah? So who do you think God has given you finances or control over to manage? Isn't it your own household? And particularly agreement between you and your wife. So there is the primary element where you should be responsible. A man cannot be taken into leadership unless he has managed his own household. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see very many stories of people who are told by God, and God keeps quiet, and then he says, Abraham, come. And then he says, Abraham comes, and he carried his Lot and his father-in-law, his father, and all the relatives, and they all went, and God said, come. And God kept quiet for X years, where X years is the years until Terah died. Yeah? X is the number of years he kept silent until Terah died. His father died. When his father died, God spoke again to Abraham. Are you getting my picture? But he still carried Lot along, and they went and went and went until they got into trouble with Lot. And then when Lot departed, God spoke again to Abraham. Now you will get a child. Do you know you may be delaying your promises in your family? You may be delaying them because you are carrying the whole village with them. That's the reason why the child is not coming. Yeah. Because you have the whole village in your house and your wife doesn't speak to you, and you speak to your mother-in-law, and you're always solving other people's problems which are not yours. All right? So define your family and be bold enough to say that this is my area of responsibility and these are whom I work for. Don't go solving. And you know, your brother is always the most irresponsible one. You know that one? The one who used to carry his briefcase, his suitcase to school, do his homework for him because you didn't want him to be beaten. Now you have brought me into your house. And he knows how to be irresponsible because you, his big brother or his small sister, will do the work for. And you have agreed that he's part of your household. Two, study your timeline. Look at your timeline. And you know, you have been born into a certain stage in history. David was born into a period of war and conflict. His calling in his generation was to handle that conflict. Maybe you have been born into a period of poverty. Maybe you have been born into a period of lack of education. Maybe you have been born into a period where there is a great need and God wants to do something about it. Moses was born into a time when God was saying, I have been looking for a man to send to Egypt. Do you think Moses didn't know that those issues were there? He knew. But he took off. He came back when he realized that this was where he was supposed to be. Right? Look at your timeline. Look at the issues. I can't expect you to invent a new rocket to space. You don't even have the technology here. So why are you worried? Your purpose in life is not to have the latest S4. Is it S4 or is it S5? Galaxy X, you what? A phone that can speak by itself. That is not your purpose in life. Your purposes, those are not your purposes. To have the longest Mercedes. There's a friend of mine who says there are some Mercedes which pass for 2 minutes, you know, it's still passing. That cannot be. Look at your timeline. You can't drive a Mercedes in this area, poverty, in the middle. Look at it. Be realistic. Find out. Three, design a strategy to navigate the stress. The stress, you can figure it out because you can look at your timeline. If you move to America, and there's a reason why God has placed you in Uganda, in Kampala, to be precise. There is a very specific reason. I see many people migrating to the U.S. because there is good life there, but usually they come back pretty fast and depressed. Or even if they stay there, they never make an advancement until they come back. God didn't make a mistake. Yes, I know you can call you as a missionary. But even the missionaries, where are they? Wale walianza hapa, where are they? Si wameenda. They have left it to Pastor Zedi, huyu hapa. Kuna mwingine. Your very own. You see me? Are you seeing me? Look at me carefully. Tomorrow I'm in Kenya. What do I know about you guys? See, I've told you what I needed to tell you. Be gone. Yes, it sounds nice, eh? But I don't follow through. It is you who is here. All right? Design a strategy to obtain. Develop a strategic thinking. Strategic thinking helps you to think strategically and start looking into the future. Think like God. Now that sounds bad, eh? But think like God. God wants you to think like Him. The reason why God spoke through the prophets is because the prophets could sit down and said, hey, you know, this thing is leading us in the wrong direction. 35, 35, 35, utanguka mtiani. And that's what they would go and tell the king. 35, 35, 35, you will be beaten. Who tells you that you can predict the future? Look, Mr. King, you have disobeyed, disobeyed, disobeyed God. And if I know that God properly, this is not going to happen. It's not rocket science. It's just basically strategic thinking. Businesses know this very well. They come into a market, they survey, how many goods can we sell here? Fine, we can sell 5,000 goods. So what we need to set up? We need to set up one branch. How many marketing and so on? Fine. How many salespeople? X. Put them in place, they sell. They actually achieve it because they're strategic. You know, God gives you 9 months notice. Sena kupatianga 9 months notice for the baby to come. Even birthdays have advance notice. And women are very good at this because after a few months, they start doing things like baby showers. You see them buying suji blue, I don't know, yellow, pink and blue. And women, men, we are wondering like, si ungojie mtoto akuje apana? You prepare first. Okay? Plan to realize your family aspirations. Now, Joseph is not an odd one out. Okay? Joseph in the Bible is not an odd person. Daniel is not an odd person. The Bible says that in the last days, old men will dream dreams and children will see visions. Do you know that in every family, God has planted dreams, visions, and aspirations? When your child says, I want to be a pilot, don't say, this is stupid. You haven't even done, you can't do that. We don't have the money. That's not your issue. God has given that child a dream. When your wife tells you, I think we can build a shop, they say, shut up. She has got a dream. You know, one of the things that made me so happy and still excites me up to now is, okay, when Violet got, we built the school, and she doesn't know this, and she said, let's start a school. What she didn't know is that she had been saying all through the years that I need to start a school. And finally, at that light bulb moment, it hit me that this is the vision that you have given this lady, and I am privileged to be part of implementation. She will tell you, she was so surprised because me, the word yes comes out of my mouth very infrequently. It is usually no. Maybe she will tell you a little bit later. When she wanted to go to the UK one time, I told her, no. Why? There's no money. And she was frustrated, I think, for 10 years. Because I've refused. Now, when you identify with the person's visions, you start to open opportunities. Those visions are not from the guy sitting down to think. God has placed those visions there and aspirations for your husband and for your wife and for the people he's given you responsibility over. It is your job to realize this. So listen to them. Listen. God is speaking. How do we put it into practice? Okay? My daughter Tabitha, maybe one of these days when we come, we'll come with her. She plays the violin. One day she came home and said, before she lunch, she said, Dad, can you buy me a violin? I said, what? Standard what? No. This is father's. Father's take tuition. No. Why? Too expensive. So she insisted, buy me a violin. I said, no, it's too expensive. And anyway, you don't even know how to play a violin. She went to the neighbors, borrowed a violin, learned how to play one song, went to a competition, and won the competition. No, it wasn't that, but she came back home and presented the certificate and says, Daddy, please buy me. What would you do? First of all, my pride was injured. I am a man. How do you go to the neighbors to borrow a violin? Meanwhile, I had said what? How do I face my neighbor? And you know, I'm reacting like a man, eh? Instead of being happy, like, okay, we have won, I'm looking at how I have been personally assaulted and let down the community because I'm such a useless man who cannot buy his daughter a violin. Who said no? It was me. So I said, okay. So I went to look for a violin. Of course, I didn't say yes immediately. I just went to look for the violin. The violin in Kenya shillings is 14,000 shillings. That's about how much? Times 30. 500,000. Hey, what? Okay, so I said, fine, let me see. We got some money together, bought a violin. Then I said, let's get you to school. So I went to the music school. Do you know how much a half an hour violin lesson costs? It costs 2,800, approximately 3,000 shillings, which is almost how much percent, 25% of the cost of the violin. And she will need about 20 or 30 of those lessons to be able to play. Now you see, I'm getting myself in hot soup. So I said, okay, now how do I do this? How do I do this? First of all, I couldn't afford the violin, but I've bought the violin. Now I can't afford the lessons because some people will go without food. Now I sat down and I said, I did some rudimentary music one. So I went to the bookshop and I found a book called How to Play the Violin. It was 3,000 shillings. Now mathematics is good. 3,000 versus 300,000 is good mathematics. Eh? So I bought the book. I sat down and read that book. Then I told her, okay, hold. Yeah, like that. Okay, now, down. Yeah, that sounds good. And then, okay, good. Okay, just, now what you do, you hold it like this. Okay. And we did that for 3 months. Now she reads music. She plays music. I don't know how to play the violin. Yes. She's here. I don't know how to play that instrument, but Tabitha plays that instrument. Do you know that some of you are here because your parents insisted you go to school and they do not know how to read? Some of you will produce engineers and you have never been to engineering school. The power of you as a parent and of the realizer of dreams is in your willingness to work with God to bring this about. I can't play a violin. She can. But she goes and tells everybody, who taught me? My dad. And you can imagine the pride. Not only that, but even when she tells her peers, my dad taught me. She's, whew, because some of their dads are not even at home. They have no time to spend with anybody to show. And she knows I don't know, but she's okay. Now, God is influencing you as a parent to this marriage. That child is 2 years old, 3 years old. Don't look at a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. See Mozart. See president. See CEO. How do I put in place these structures? Take the dreams of your spouse and say, put these things on the table. How do we create this? I don't mind telling you that there are challenges with the school right now. But we are sitting down and said, we agreed to do this and we are working with God. He's going to bring us a bus. He's going to figure out how this thing is going to get through. We are not going to kill the dream because we don't have money. We know the person who owns the universe. So if he figures out that he's not going to give us, let it be his decision, but us, we're willing to work. All right? Realize your family's aspirations. Now, please, 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 there is no, every accomplishment, I don't know how to put it. Nehemiah, Daniel, Abraham, Joseph, Jesus, whatever, there was a dream. Somewhere in the mix there was a dream. Somebody dreamed. And somebody thought of something outrageous that had never happened before. And that's what happened. So your goals in life do not have to be what you can actually achieve. Your goals in life should be what God can achieve. Am I speaking? They should be way beyond your capacity as a human being. You see, Moses thought he could do it. He knew that these fellows needed salvation. But the only way he was going to do this is if God came down. And you know what? God came down. You just have agreed to be available. So when we see and say, what does this man have that he's able to do this? No, no, no. He's just applied himself to be a vessel for God's creation. The image of God in a man is more than any man can accomplish on their own. Much more. Set transformative goals. Now, the reason why our goals are, and our families do not achieve much is we set reasons, goals like we need to buy a new car. We need to rent a new house. We need to move. Those are things you can do with your eyes closed. Do something that will transform you. Like build your own house. How about that one? So that you will never pay rent again. That is transformative. Start a business that will allow you to get income for the next 50 years. That is transformative. Okay? Then you design a financial strategy. Now, we know in marriage we talk about all sorts of things except finances. Finances. And those become critical. Money is not everything, but money is most things. Yes. Money will come in there at some point. So you might as well start a discussion. And for here, we married people are very guilty because her money is hers and my money is mine. Biggest problem you'll ever have. So how do you advance? I bought a car. Okay, even me, I bought a dress. Have you advanced? Nothing. Nothing has moved forward. Both of you have exercised your right to spend money. But that's just it. Sour. So don't expect God to step in and bless the car after you have bought it. And usually what happens to that dress? You wear it once, twice, three times, then the next fashion comes out. And you want another one. And that old one that is there, what happens? Is that wise use of funds? Finally, establish an implementation plan. Okay? Part of the reason I'm asking you to write these things down is that they will enable you to work through the challenges. Okay? So I'm going to ask Violet to come up and maybe do a Q&A session on what has been said. And then lunch is ready. Let her take a few minutes and then we'll look at how lunch goes. So Violet, you can ask her all the questions that you'd like to ask. Oh, you're there, Sawa. Okay. Any questions? Okay.